Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fat to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at TheObesityRevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. I am Sean Mulroney.
I'm Carrie Mooney.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Carrie Mooney.
I just jump right on in there.
He's like, you should. He's like leaving a big gap.
The big pregnant pause. The buildup.
In the very beginning. I thought, hey, this could go smooth. You know what I'm saying? And
oh man, is it because your weather?
No, it's because it's because he's Tom Hardy. That's why. Because
he's got a nickname.
He does have a nickname.
He's good.
That's what we're gonna have to go to. That's what we're gonna have to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna make sure that we talk about it and get every bit, you know, out of it, because we're gonna find out some things about El Tomo, Tom Hardy. And, you know, of course, Carrie, I've known Tom Hardy for, you know, probably 45 years or so.
No kidding.
You know, give or take.
So you guys were kids together.
It's been, we were the kids, and he was in the principal's office and worked in the principal's office, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
And he sort of would cut my name off of, you know.
Wait a minute. Has the statute of limitations run out that you can tell me this information now?
I believe so, because okay. I've been out of high school for 30 years.
Okay, just making sure.
It's hard to believe I've been out of high school for 30 years.
Me too. I know.
You know what I'm saying? I graduated, and I was supposed to graduate the same year Tom did,
mm-hmm.
in 88, but, you know, we did. I graduated in 90, so because I loved high school so much.
Right.
It was just my best thing.
You're on the 5-year plan.
Tom graduated in 88. Yeah, Tom graduated 88 because he wanted to get out. He was smarter than I was. Right, Tom? You were right. You were smarter than me. I think he was smarter than me. He just doesn't want to say anything right now.
So let me ask you something. Before we get on Tom's nickname, I want to ask you a question. Do you listen to the music that you used to listen to back then?
Always.
Kids listen to it?
They listen to some of the stuff. Like, you know, of course, Alexa is amazing. You know, and they are. Libby is a music junkie.
Is she really?
Little Libby and Kenzie, you know, Maddie not so much, but they're junkies with the music, and it comes back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I know music like the back of my hand.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I can name pretty much any song.
Mm-hmm. I love it when we'll be in the truck, and I've got on a whatever radio station, and I'm singing my face off, and the girls are singing with me, and it's the songs I used to listen to when I was their age. I think that is super fun. I love that.
It is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I love, you know, doing that and going back to that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for instance, one song that Libby kept singing over to, you know, the song, oh, my goodness, what's it called? Lay It on the Line.
So every time I hear that song, I think of you, and now she knows it. That's cool.
She says it over and over and does it over and over again.
Does she make the same face you do when she sings it?
I don't know if she does, but I do the drums. I do the drums all the time, and she does the singing.
But you go, you do that.
Yeah. Well, they do the Rush. You know, they love Tom Sawyer, too.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's a great song.
Any drum song,
yeah,
they love.
Yeah.
I you know,
because you play drums.
They say, Dad, here's the sticks, you know? So they do that all the time.
Did Tom, did you ever play a musical instrument?
I played the alto saxophone.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And, yep, a little bit of piano, and very little. And occasionally the drums.
Occasionally.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I played the French horn.
I was not the expert that Sean was.
Could you play a whole set of drums? Or just like the snare?
No. Play the whole set.
Oh, could you? You could play the trap set and mm-hmm. hi-hats and stuff?
I mean, I'm not,
yeah,
you know.
You could do a simple beat, right, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's cool. Yeah. Well, if you could do a simple beat, you just, you know, it just takes hand-eye coordination. You know what I'm saying? It's just...
Yeah, practice.
And leg coordination, too. You got to do it all. You got to just, you know, especially doing double bass.
It's good exercise.
It is. It really, really is. Yeah, Gary.
Before we get too far away, Tom, we started to talk about your nickname and got off on a music tangent. Let's circle back around, yeah, shall we?
Tom... Yeah, what do you want to ask, Carrie? Like, what?
What is? Don't you have a nickname?
Yeah, it's called. It's El Tomo.
Yes.
El Tomo.
El Tomo.
Okay.
Or the El Tomo, the worst dad joke giver in the planet. But I think.
Yeah. Well.
But at any rate,
how did you get to? How did you get
El
the
Tomo.
Name El Tomo?
Yes.
Because, I mean, here's the thing: you didn't even say El Tomo coming into the show. You said Tom.
No.
Tom Hardy. You said it dries.
Tom Hardy.
Dries a popcorn.
In his best
fart.
DJ voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get the
I'm
name
Tom
El
Hardy.
Tomo?
In a world where one man was named El Tomo, I am that man. No, never.
How did you
We were at a buffet restaurant. And I was playing finger puppets with crawfish.
Crawfish.
Yeah.
Crawfish.
And I was making them talk. And Pastor comes along and he says, way to go, El Tomo. You're the best. And that just stuck. Everybody's called me El Tomo ever since.
So wait, you're playing with your food in a restaurant. How old were you?
He's playing with his playing with his crawfish.
Crawfish. How old were you?
That's how he says it.
Just put him on. This was like 10 years ago. I was about 40.
He was 40, not a kid. He was playing in a restaurant with crawfish on his fingers.
Okay, so when we have merch, we're going to have the Tom shirt, and it's going to be a smiling crawdad next to a finger.
Yeah, and say El Tomo. That's what his face in it. No, we have to have his face on a crawfish. That's what we need to do.
See?
We're going to.
That works.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
The obesity revolution.
I have no problem with that.
Here's Tom. Look, he's like, you know, smiling.
With a little crawfish
like
tail and little.
Yeah, it's like shaking like
crawfish.
He's dancing. And then underneath it say, come on, baby, shake your bamba. You know?
Yep. And one day, for no particular reason, I just began to run.
And I ran and I ran. And I ran some more. El Tomo, the the crawfish puppet.
Crawl what?
The crawfish. The
you tried to drag
puppet.
It out like you were from the South. Crawfish.
Crawfish. Yeah, they always say like one syllable words into three.
And it's that long.
Like stick, stick. Stick.
Yeah.
Stick. We should
one
make
time,
fun of the. We
I caught a crawfish.
We shouldn't make fun of
no,
what?
No, we're East Coasters. We shouldn't make
I
fun of Midwesterners. The way they
or
talk.
Or Southerners.
Mm. Southerners.
I caught a crawfish in a cup, and it was one of my mom's favorite cups. So she made me drink out of it. She didn't clean it. Made me drink out of it for like a couple days. So I would never use that cup again to catch crawfish.
Ew. What is it about you're cursed with crawfish? You're playing with crawfish at the buffet, Did you actually eat the crawfish?
You got your crawfish in a cup. You got your crawfish on a plate. You got your crawfish on your fingers.
You got
Sergeant
Dan. You got
shrimp.
You got shrimp. We have shrimp etouffee.
Etouffee.
We have shrimp gumbo. Shrimp jambalaya. Shrimp mayo. Shrimp mustard.
I looked down on the shirt with my face on a crawfish, and I said, "Lieutenant Dan, I got 8 legs."
Oh, my gosh.
Tom. Oh, my gosh. Where did this go?
I don't even know.
I don't know.
You have to take him down, you know, yonder. He's down yonder on the Chattahoochee. You know, he's like just, you know, call him El Tomo Gumbo.
El Tomo.
How about that?
Now I'm never going to be able to get that image out of my head now.
I can't. Now, we have to get an artist to get his face on a crawfish.
Yes.
That's all there is to it.
Yep, that's our quest.
We should even come out with, and the merch has come out with
that's
El
what I'm
Tomo
saying.
Puppets.
That's what I'm saying.
El Tomo Puppets.
Or
okay,
just a
okay.
shirt with a little thing on there. The alligator, not an
now,
alligator, a crawfish.
Puppets. No. Well, how about puppets? You know what I'm saying? Here's El Tomo Puppets.
I'm going to open my own restaurant.
There you go.
Called the El Tomo Drunken Crawfish.
There you go.
Okay, go do it.
I'd go.
Go ahead.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Get some Cajun food. Cajun food's good.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
So, it is.
Did you ever have etouffee?
I've never had etouffee, no.
Have you had
definitely
jumbo?
Had jambalaya.
Jambalaya is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had jambalaya, Carrie?
It's delicious. I love it.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it, larve it.
I love it when they make it the old style. They lay it across the table after they're done. Everything's just there for you to pick and eat.
Well, that's the crawfish boil.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got that mixed
up.
Yeah,
that's the
jambalaya.
Crawfish. Yeah, jambalaya, no. It has chicken
in it. It's
more
of a soup.
No, jambalaya is not a soup. It's a rice dish. No,
well, then I didn't have jambalaya.
No, gumbo is like the soup.
That's right.
Etouffee is like the shrimp etouffee is like a saucy thing that you put over ice or rice.
Ice.
And then you got the jambalaya. Yeah, you got the jambalaya, which is like sausage and andouille sausage, chicken, you know, chicken thighs. And then, like, if you want to put shrimp in it too, but they make the rice where it's just nice and dark, and they put it in there, and then you bake it. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Man, but yeah, we're the obesity revolution, and we're talking about food. Right,
I was
now,
just
going to
say.
Hey,
I was just
going to
say,
the obesity
this
revolution.
Segment sponsored by, this segment of Cooking with Sean, sponsored by the obesity revolution.
And then they're saying, I can hear them getting fatter.
The Cajun chef.
They're getting fatter right mm-hmm. now. Because I could just look at it and gain weight. So I know how that is. But, hey, we got a great episode here tonight for your today, whenever you want to listen to it. Or tomorrow, whatever. I mean, you can listen to it anytime you want to. But we can't go anywhere without talking about our four pillars, okay? And Tom, what's our first pillar? Let's go around the room right now. What's our first pillar?
Identify.
He's always doing that spooky voice. Carrie, what's the second one?
Educate. I can't come across as spooky. I just come across as, I just ran up a flight of steps. That's what my voice was.
Wow.
I ran up a flight of stairs.
How about we just say, how about inspire? And then lastly, all of us together, what's the last one? Wait. On a count of three, let's all say it. 1, 2, 3.
Execute.
Yeah, that was easy
that
for
was
you
bad.
To do. Yes. That was real bad. Yeah. Execute. So that's our four pillars. And we live by them. We, you know, instruct by them, help with them, all the things that we do. You know, go to theobesityrevolution.com. Have some exciting things coming out as far as the app. My book is coming out. And by the way, Carrie was my big helper for, like, almost like my ghostwriter for my book. And so shout out to Carrie.
Thank you.
For helping me put that together. And it's going to be coming down the pike here soon.
Ghost Riders.
I don't know what he's doing.
He's singing Ghost Riders in the Sky.
She's the
I'm
ghost
the ghost
rider.
Writer. That's no, awesome. That's, I love that.
No, it's Riders.
I have my own theme song now.
Ghost. But where's Ghost? What's there Ghost Riders from the? Where's Ghost Riders in the Sky from?
It's a song.
It's a song.
From where? Who?
Johnny Cash, right?
I know
a lot of people.
I know
Johnny Cash did it. There's a bunch of people that have done it.
Well, I don't know. Well,
yeah,
I know
Chris
Riders.
Yeah,
I know
Chris
Riders in the Storm.
The Highwaymen.
That's the Doors. Yeah. No, this Ghost Riders in the Sky, great song. Now I have a theme song. Thanks, Tom.
Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Anyhooser.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Sean, now you got to get a whip audio thing. For your
audio.
Drums?
Yeah. And then Tom goes, ow! Ow! Ow, quit it.
So whenever we do the artist rendering of me with a crawfish and my head on the crawfish, we have Sean behind me with a whip.
Yeah. Yep, there you go.
That's too much, man. Tomo. El Tomo.
And then Carrie can be in the bottom writing about it.
Wearing
that should be the ghost writer.
Yeah, that's the epitome of
there
the Beastie Revolution.
Right.
There you go. That's the epitome. But hey, let's get into this. What are we talking about tonight there, El Tomo, Crawfish Slayer?
Overcoming a victim mentality.
Overcoming the victim mentality. Speaking of which, has any of you two ever been a victim or played the victim? I know I have. I mean, I've had that, you know, Molly Grubbs and, you know, think I was less than because, you know, putting myself in there. And, I mean, I got over it, especially whenever I was young. But I don't know, you, Carrie, ever have that issue before?
Yeah, when I was younger, absolutely. And you don't realize until you get a little bit older that it's okay to climb out of that mentality. And I think that just comes with time and with watching other people.
Yeah.
You know, how to act normal.
Sure.
You know, whatever normal is.
Well, normal is a city in Illinois.
Right.
You know, normal Illinois, that's about it, though. I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of relate to that, Carrie. How about you, Tom? Have you ever.
Not me.
You've never been a victim or played the victim?
No.
Really?
No.
No?
Not me.
He's being very facetious.
Just last week.
Yeah.
No.
Just yesterday.
I still struggle with that sometimes. It's very easy to fall into if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Very easy.
Yeah. It is.
Yes, ma'am.
And as a grown-up, I think sometimes when somebody or you're in a situation that makes you feel like you did such a very long time ago, the feeling in it comes back to you like that. And it's very difficult sometimes to remember that you're a grown-up and that you aren't helpless and you can do something about it. But when it's an ambush, you just go straight back into that mentality when you are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. That's hard. It's when it surprises you like that.
Well,
for me, it can be any time I'm around people from my childhood, like some guy named Mulroney, and also family. You know, sometimes they say things that take me back to the bad times that I went through so many years ago.
He's pouring it on.
No, I'm just kidding.
He's pouring it on. No.
But it's true.
It is.
And Carrie's right. I mean, there are different situations, like little things that could be triggers that will take you back.
Absolutely.
Instantly.
Like a deja vu moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're before you know it, you're thinking a certain way, and you got to guard against that.
Yep. Well, you think a certain way, but, you know, there's, like you said, the triggers.
Yeah.
That we go back to there's things that I can't get out of my mind.
Yeah.
There's things that you know, my stepdad, you know, rest his soul, but he, I can't get them out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, you know, pain begets pain, right?
Yeah.
But I've learned to forgive my stepdad in my life was he had a terrible past. You know, he had terrible trauma when he was a kid. He would never talk about it, though,
mm-hmm.
because you didn't talk about it whenever that age, you know?
I think you're right. I think that period of time of people, that kind of stuff wasn't talked about.
No, especially coming out in the Depression and then coming out of the Depression.
Yeah.
You know, if you were born in 1920, 30, 40, all that right there was just like you were destined not to talk about anything that happened to you as a kid.
And that's when emotional constipation took over.
Yeah. Right.
Somehow we always end up talking about constipation or something like that.
Well, I didn't that's say true. Anything about constipation. But Carrie did.
But I want to get clear. When we're talking about a victim mentality, we're not asking people to just accept us as being obese and then conditioning us or letting us not do anything about it. We want respect in our journey. If we continue to do the things wrong, then justify them in our minds, it can lead to a victim mentality. And it rests on three principles of victim mentality. Bad things happen and will keep happening. You just believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Other people or circumstances are to blame. And any efforts to create change will fail. So there's no point in trying. That's a victim mentality.
Wow, so go over them three. Let's bust that open real quick. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, I wanted to add another one. Is that I've been treated so badly that I shouldn't have to keep trying to get better. It's like they want to accept it because they don't want to try. They're just comfortable in that, but they're also want to be unhappy. They're happy being unhappy. That's a rare few people. They do.
Sometimes they're just exhausted.
Well, it's not really rare, to be quite honest, because there's some people that thrive on drama.
That's true.
Okay? I hate drama.
Yeah.
And I think some people like feeling sorry for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Misery loves company.
You know, and, here's the thing. Not only that, it gives you a way why you don't need an excuse why you don't need to get better.
Yeah.
You follow? And it's much easier to stay in that mentality than to work yourself out, because what you're going to have to do is fight and claw your way out.
So what do you think is the reason for these? Do you think it's fear? Fear of failure?
Well, everything stems from two things.
Okay.
Fear and insecurity. Every problem you have in life stems from fear and insecurity. That's the root most of the time whenever you start going down the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I've experienced anyway.
I agree with that.
Coming from a Christian radio background, they say that the things we do wrong in life, the sins that we commit, are all rooted in fear and insecurity. And I really believe that.
How about failure? Too.
Well, that's fear.
Yeah,
that's
fear. So, you fail, but you still have
You're afraid you're going to do it again.
Because, here's the thing. You know you're going to fail. And then you know you're going to, you know, you can't get back to where you, what's the sense in trying? It's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever been so overwhelmed.
They just throw their hands up.
How not? I mean, I guarantee there's people right now that are listening that have thrown their hands up because they have them. And what were you saying, Tom, is the main thing of a victim? Let's break these down. What's the first one that you mentioned?
Bad things happen and will keep happening.
Bad thing. So that's the mentality to have that, oh, well, it's no good's going to ever happen. Well, I feel...
Or it never seems to change. I mean, so why would I change?
Right, right. Well, but see, the only thing that we can change, it's a choice, is us. It's a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For us to change,
or we blame others.
It's easy. Yeah, exactly.
Other people or circumstance are to blame.
Yep. And that's a lie.
I've been there. While we're going through this, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I know with me, I've been through this. I've certainly dealt with it, and I think it's part of the process. Sean always talks about the process. When you've dealt with, because a lot of people that are dealing with obesity, there's an emotional criteria for why we're there.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it can be trauma, it can be PTSD, it can be a lot of things that you could use an excuse and anchor yourself down and say, well, that's what I deal with. I'm always going to deal with it. So why try? I'm just exhausted. And I've been there, you know, where you feel like, I'm just tired of this and I'm just exhausted. I've said it up to you, Sean, I believe, at certain times where I'm like, it's not that I feel lazy. I'm just tired of this. I'm exhausted. I'm tired of being here in this place, if that makes any sense.
Well,
but you can't use it as an excuse to stop.
Well, here's speaking of that, if I could, I mean, because we're ourselves, I mean, we're vulnerable because there's great strength in vulnerability, okay? No doubt about it. But, Tom, whenever you sent over, you know, the notes and, like they said, the show, because you said that this really dealt with you a lot.
Yeah.
Would you mind going in that and giving us, like, a bird's eye view of what you meant and what you said, how it really, you know, made you and opened up your eyes? Could you go through that, please?
Well, part of the reason I've put up with some of the stuff that I have in life is because I always feel like I'm not good enough and that's the best I'm going to get. So just take what you can and deal with it and be happy with, just find a way to be happy with people trying to treat you with disrespect. But it stemmed, it was like a vicious circle, because I was getting that disrespect sometimes because I disrespected myself. I would always say something really quick bad about myself to beat them to it so they couldn't get to do it to me, okay? And so they're in their minds, they're thinking, okay, it's okay to treat him like that because he treats himself like that.
We unwittingly gave them permission.
It's a vicious circle. And there's many times where I've felt like, I've lost 50 pounds, I've lost 80 pounds, I've lost 150 pounds, and each time I've gained all that weight back. And so it's easy to go into that mentality of, I'm just going to fail again. Why am I even trying? You know? And I know there's a lot of people that deal with that, but you can't quit. You just can't quit.
Wow. You know? Wow, Tom.
People might quit on you, but you can't quit.
Well, what caused that?
And you got to learn to change that self-talk and what comes out of your mouth. Because if you don't, people are going to pick up on how you talk about yourself, and they're going to think they have permission to do
that's it. That's good. Well, when and how did you stop? When did you stop and
still
how?
Still working on it. Still working on that self-talk. I got to be honest with you, because it's years of learned behavior. I go see a therapist, and I'm not ashamed to say that, because it helps. It's years of feeling bad about yourself, feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like you're never going to change, you're never going to get where you... Because you've been told that. And so you've heard it from other people, and then you start saying it in your mind. And before long, you start believing it, that you're just never, you got to change that. You got to turn it around. to you will do this, you can do this, and surround yourself with people that will encourage you
to do that.
And you got to keep looking until you find those people, because you do want to do that. Don't surround yourself with people that beat you down, because it'll never help.
Well,
and you also have to give yourself permission to walk away from certain relationships for that very reason, for your own mental health.
That's a hard thing. That's a really hard thing.
I had to do it. I walked away from a whole section of my family for that, for my own mental health.
Yeah, you have, Carrie. Yes, you. And there's nothing. And that's what I'm saying. Some people have to walk away from their mother and father because of that.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to do that. You know, that. Why would a mother or father do that to their child?
Exactly. These are the people who's supposed to.
In somebody else. Yeah.
Go ahead, Carrie. Yeah, go ahead.
These are the people who are supposed to protect and love and defend us and show us how to live in the world. And if they're telling you that you're no good, of course you're going to believe it, because why would they lie? So that's why it's so easy for us as children to believe that and to take that on. So that's self-fulfilling prophecy. But then once we can hopefully change our mindset, it still is self-fulfilling prophecy, but instead of throwing ourselves over a mental waterfall, you know, we are treading up against, you know, the current and finding a place of solace where we can, you know, hang on and climb out of the river of, you know, despair and doubt and start perhaps building a life for ourselves. And that's really hard to do. That's why the obesity revolution is so important, because most of us, if not all of us, have been there. So we can offer encouragement to each other and listen to each other in a way that a lot of other people can't, unless they've lived it also.
Well, and it's important when you're, because it's always easier to see that in somebody else when they're going through it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Then when you yourself are going through it. So if you encounter somebody that's doing it, you don't want to beat them over the head with it. It's not going to help. Never think you're better or come across as you're better or you're superior because you've beat it. You got to guard against that, because someone like that is already defensive. Mm-hmm. You know, they've learned to place blame elsewhere. They've learned to make excuses. Not taking responsibility, reacting to most life hurdles with, it's not my fault. And sometimes it's not their fault, but there are things they have to take responsibility for.
Yes.
And that can be very humbling. And the way not to handle that is to beat them over the head with it.
Right.
You just can't do it.
Well, but we beat ourselves over the head. I think that
you're
speaking to our language that we feel that, man, so why this has happened to me, so it's going to continue happening to me, and I just can't get anywhere in life. And because we were conditioned that there has to be something that stops, because if you don't stop it, if you don't, you know, interject, okay, and then start loving yourself, you know what I'm saying, the way you should. And that takes time. It's not going to be overnight. If you think it's going to be overnight, especially with damaged lives, and the majority of people that have struggled with obesity, have had some kind of abandonment, abuse, neglect. I don't know. There's a lot of things that happen.
Yeah.
And that they put that on there, or that they don't feel like they're beautiful. And the thing is that just because you feel that because somebody told you doesn't mean it's so, but it's so hard. You tell some, they don't believe it. You can say, hey, you know, Tom, you know, I can say, no, that's not really how you need to feel. Well, never tell a person to get over it.
That's
please.
Right.
Nope.
Don't ever tell anybody to get over it, because you don't know what they need to get over.
In their shoes?
Nope.
You have no idea.
Nope. Go ahead, Carrie.
To be clear, bad things do happen.
Yeah.
They do happen.
Yes, they do.
So.
What I have shared with people is I've said never, ever try to get over it. Because if you get over it, that means you've never dealt with it. And it's going to come back and haunt you and bite you in the butt again and again. Mm-hmm. We need to work through it. And I'm here if you need me. But I encourage people to seek out help, to have a counselor, whatever, help them navigate to get through it. Never over it, always through.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
People in a victim mentality go to extremes one way or the other. Either they stuff it all inside and will not deal with it, and so it festers and grows and becomes worse and worse. Or they're so outward about it that they throw it up all over people. Anybody that will listen, somebody at the grocery line, somebody at church, somebody walking down the street, it doesn't matter who it is, they're going to share their whole life story because they're hurting and they haven't dealt with it.
That's good, Tom. And that's why people share their stuff on social media. And that's the other thing,
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm serious. They do that, and they spread it out there because, well, Tom, you said it. They are hurting. Somebody that does that is hurting, if you understand. Maybe it's not good. And, I mean, I know people that share everything, you know. And you don't have to.
I was
do
a chronic
that.
Share.
Huh?
What's that? I was a chronic share.
Wow, Tom. Well, I appreciate you saying that. This is really.
I was.
You're being. And I appreciate that. It's really, really humbling to me. Go ahead, Carrie.
There are some people also that the reason that they share too much or share at socially awkward times is because they were never taught to establish appropriate boundaries.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good. That's hard.
It is, especially.
Would it be for them or for others?
Both. Because you don't want to shut them down.
Yeah.
Right.
But sometimes the time isn't always right for that kind of a conversation. Yeah.
Right. And you don't know the boundaries.
They don't even know their own boundaries.
Yeah.
I remember going to a bonfire with a bunch of friends, and I just broke up with my ex-wife, and that's all I could talk about. And I wish somebody would have come to me and said, hey, just taken me aside and said, hey, chill.
Yeah.
You're making yourself look really bad. Because I did, because I sat there and I just talked about it and beat it into the ground, saying the same thing over and over again. And I was hurting. The truth was, I was hurting. But I was throwing up my problem over everybody. And it doesn't help. And part of the reason was because I didn't seek a safe harbor where I could share that with someone that could help. I thought, let's just share it with everybody. And for years, I did that out on the internet. Sean will be one to tell you because I'm sure he saw it. Because I felt like if I could just share it, maybe I'll find an answer.
Well, you also probably had to just get it out of you because it hurts so dang bad.
Well, I would get emails, I would get messages saying, hey, thanks, man. I go through that too. And it would encourage me to keep doing that. But the problem was, I was overexposing myself. Mm. And it just wasn't healthy, I don't think, for me. And it wasn't helping answer the problem. It was just digging me a deeper hole. And, you know, and it makes you feel more like I'm just never going to beat this. I'm never going to get over it. Every woman that I'm ever with is going to leave me, so why try?
So it reinforces.
You know, why, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that self-talk just digs deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah, well, and that's Tom and I know a lot of the same people. And some of those people that he would, you know, project that to have no grace. Okay, because you know they have everything together. They're you know, sister, Mr. Better than you, and you know, why not just get over it? You know what I'm saying? And I saw that so many times on Tom's post.
Dang.
Or they would just, you know, leave him, you know, and then not be there. But what it was, though, I can understand on the other end, it was getting to where Tom had to come to grips. And I'm telling you, here's what I admire. The last year, Tom, you know, we talking victim mentality. I'm telling you what, bro, you have really did a 180.
Amen.
I mean, like, he has. He just...
Not that you were pathetic. You were just so very sad. And
yeah, he was.
And you were looking...
Yeah.
Oh, there are people at work that call me Eeyore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Because I would come into work every day, and I wouldn't say much sometimes. I mean, I'd joke around sometimes, because that's just
me. You just
me,
had a cloud, you know, of sadness about
but
you.
They could, yep, tell. And I would sit there. I'd work on my machine, and I would spend hours just sitting there crying.
Aww.
Just crying while I was working. But it drug everybody down around me. It wasn't healthy. Yeah. It wasn't helping me get better. It was just making me feel like more of a pathetic loser.
Yeah.
I did feel pathetic, and I acted pathetic, but I didn't have that knowledge in my head that... Because when you've been told that you're a disappointment by people that you love the most, and that you never attained what they felt you should have attained in life, and a lot of it surrounds your weight... It always seems to come down to that.
Yeah.
You know, and then people leave you. Like that last one, whenever my third wife left, it was... I tried so hard. And I just could not make her stay. And, but looking back now, I can tell you a lot of it was I was still dealing with the same thing I dealt with from wife one, and having that victim mentality of feeling like, yeah, I'm going to keep trying. And I did. I mean, I worked radio and I worked TV, and I would constantly, I do publicly try to lose weight in front of everybody. You know, I'm Sean, and I remember, Sean probably remembers after my third wife, every day I would get on and say what I did, how I worked out. And I worked out every day for 472 days straight.
Wow.
Never a break. And there'd be times I'd be in the gym beating the crap out of myself for hours. I was trying to prove something to somebody. Myself, I guess, a little bit. I was looking for validation, and that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
We live in a society that doesn't want to give people validation.
Especially
they want it, but they don't want to give
people
it.
And tear them apart.
Well, especially right. Towards obese people.
Absolutely.
You know, if you fail, like yeah. Tom says, you know, failed in his marriage, you know, well, you're just fat. You never amounted to anything anyways, and you're a disappointment. Well, the more you hear that, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Even in my own home, I was on eggshells all the time. I didn't feel like I belonged.
Yeah.
You know, where right. am I going to belong at if I can't even have a haven? That's why here, listen to this. My girls, and I'm probably a little too lax, okay? Our home is going to be a haven for them girls.
And their friends.
They're going to enjoy coming home. Well, yeah, and their friends.
My house, too.
They're going to come home. Well, they're going to come home and never fear like I did.
Right.
And never have to say, man, I don't like being at home. I want them to run to home. I want them to run to me yeah. and Jess.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a big gift to you.
It is.
A big gift.
And I'd rather be too lax in that area than push them away mm-hmm. and I'm so that to a fault, is that I say, hey, you know, they had a bad day. We don't go over the many things. You know, if Maddie, if she's had a bad day in school, we talk about it. And she blows it up. It's not as bad as, you know, it really is, but she does just because of, you know, different things that she's going through.
Well, she's a girl and getting ready to head into teenagerhood.
Well,
it's hard.
And and probably bipolar as well.
Yeah.
Which she's going to be probably diagnosed here within the next year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and ADHD. And then
my daughter,
you know,
Morgan,
she
too. She turns molehills into mountains. And I'm like, don't turn it into a mountain.
Of course she
it's
does.
It's little. Let
she'll
it stay little. Sure.
A mountain. Yeah. And then the things that help her out is being, you know, on her computer, you know, watching, you know, good YouTube. But make sure that your kids, you monitor what they watch, because they can really get some damage. But don't play the victim to your kids either.
And allow
them
different coping tools, which my parents never did. It was shut up and deal with it. You know, so there was no way to cope except to eat. At least for me.
Well,
learning healthy boundaries.
Oh yeah,
is an important thing.
It's essential.
Thing.
Sure.
That's gold.
And if the parents don't know how to have healthy boundaries, the kids are going to have a rough start.
Yep.
Yeah. Well.
A real rough start.
They will. You don't give them anything out of the gate. Mm-mm. They are just going to go out and flop, because if I am not there to. You know, they're arrows, I look at it, in my quiver, okay? And it's my job to aim them toward the target, okay? And my kids, they're not mine. They were lent to me from God Almighty. That's how I look at it. And I'm supposed to aim them in the right direction. And it's not up to me to break them and make them feel less than. And then they become a victim because of that. And you know what? The victim mentality starts way back whenever we're knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yep.
And then it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. By the time you're a teenager, it's over. You know what your parents think about you by the time you're 5, 6, 7 years old. You know.
Yeah.
And don't think that if you're going in the wrong direction that they're doing stuff. And, you know, I know of a man. He was in prison for his whole life for 2 or 3 Christmases. Well, his mother loved to watch his stepdad and the kid's stepdad come home, and he said, wait till he gets home. She used to love him, beat the heck out of the kids.
Oh, my
loved
gosh.
It.
Wow.
And then it took him down, and he's been in prison. The system got him since he was 14 years of age.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, now he's in his 60s. You know, and it's like there is nothing. And, you know, he at first took the victim mentality, and the reason why he go back because he felt that he was owed something.
Wow.
Because he didn't have a life. And that's why you that are out there that are listen to me. You are validated. You matter. Mm-hmm. You're worth it.
Amen.
You got red blood, and if you're not dead, you're not done. And you got to drop it. Like, you know, what Tom said, that whenever he stopped, there's a lot of people that respect Tom like nobody's business. And I've heard some of the comments as since he dropped that over the last year. I mean, people, you know, are coming to him. He's gained that respect. I mean, me, respect. He inspires me. And, I mean, he's a great asset, you know what I'm saying, to the Obesity Revolution, to our podcast. And I'm just thankful that he's my friend. And it means a lot. Go ahead, Carrie.
Well, I just wanted to say, when Tom first started on this journey of growth, you know, a year ago, it was baby steps. It wasn't anything huge. It was a bunch of little things that piled on top of each other in a positive way, in my opinion, was really big and huge. So it was little steps. It's not like he woke up one morning and everything was fine. It's just one positive thing a day. Am I right about that, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One step.
Well, it started off being challenged to do the 21-day challenge. by Tracy.
Mm-hmm. We love her.
Who's in our group, to name mm-hmm. every day something good about myself. That's where it started.
Mm.
And it just blossomed from there. And it was really hard.
And he didn't miss a day.
Those 21 days, I had a hard time coming up with stuff.
Because you
I
didn't
really
hear
did.
It. You never told yourself.
Nope. Oh, no. Well, and it's, the sad part is, it's like a negative narcissism. You don't even realize
it. Wow,
yeah. Because you're, basically, you have an inherent belief that the universe and other people's behavior revolve around
in
you.
A negative
Everything
way.
Everything happens for, against, mostly against, and in relation to
yeah.
you. And simultaneously, you think that God and other people share a primary intention to punish you. And that's how
reverse
you feel.
Narcissism. I've never heard of that before, but that is an absolute brilliant way to describe that.
That is.
I think you're the universe's whipping boy.
That really is.
Dang.
Yeah. So how do we overcome it? What do we do? Number one, we can take ownership and responsibility for our own needs and wants.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Mm.
Determine what you want and what's important to you. Name it and do what you need to stop and make it happen for yourself. Stop blaming others
Good.
And waiting for them to want things you want, because the people around you may never want what you want, and that's not their fault, and that's not their problem.
Mm.
They may never get on board, so get busy taking care of what is important to you and leave them out of it. Do not allow others to keep you from personal growth. Number two, practice saying no.
I was just going to say, not your monkeys, not your circus. Eyes on your own paper. Don't worry about those other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not your circus, not your monkeys.
You got to practice saying no.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do something, and don't relax, you don't have to. That's the thing. Don't do it. Remember that you are allowed to have needs just like other people. Accept your own responsibility, though. Let others accept theirs and deal with their own consequences. Don't feel like you have to take on their consequences.
Can I just say also yeah. that no does not always need to be perceived as a negative. No, in this circumstance, is merely an answer to a question. So no doesn't have to be negative.
Right.
And a lot of people have a difficult time with that,
yeah.
too.
I mean,
well, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No is a
Boundaries.
Complete sentence.
Yes, it is. That's a great book.
Yes, it is. Because no is a complete sentence. You can say
without no. feeling guilty.
Without feeling guilty. And that's the problem. We want to please people.
We do.
Especially we've been hurt. So we're automatic, especially people that deal with obesity, are people pleasers.
We've been conditioned to people please so they'll quit picking on us.
Exactly.
We don't deal with our own problems, but we'll see somebody else going through a problem and we'll feel like we have to take on their burden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When we haven't even dealt with our own.
Truth.
That's good.
You know, we're not dealing with our own response. And so they don't respect us because they see us not dealing with our problem. So they're not respecting the fact that we're trying to take on their problem, and the disrespect just mounts and grows, and it becomes a festering postule of stupidity.
Yeah. Well said.
I hate to put it that way.
Yeah, it's true.
You know.
Well, go ahead. As we're closing, go get there's a few more.
Well,
there.
Number three, stop blaming. Stop blaming.
Stop blaming.
Are we? Yeah. And number four, become aware of the root of your sense of powerlessness.
Mm. That's good.
You know, before you construct the next narrative on who's stealing your power, get curious about the underlying feelings of powerlessness that precede all situations.
Where was yours, Tom?
My feeling like I was never going to fix this. I was never going to find anybody.
Do you know where the root started?
Me or cared when I was younger. Being told that I was a disappointment, being told that I, and just recently being told I embarrassed people that love me, quote unquote, and just, you know, that's where it is. That's the root
wow.
of it from way back.
Wow. See, but you recognizing it. Go, Carrie.
Well, for number four, becoming aware, that's going to take, the person who's doing this really needs to be ready and devote a little bit of time to it, because it's not just one of these. It's going to take you back into your past, and you're going to be experiencing some residual pain from that, and that is okay.
Yeah.
Because that's how you grow.
Yeah. There's a great book called The Child Within. And I can't remember the author, but I'll try to find it to make sure we put it in the show notes. It's an awesome book. It helped me out tremendously.
Yeah.
And number five, be kind to yourself.
Nice.
Yeah.
When you're blaming the universe and life for your sufferings, you're not actually attending to your suffering or helping yourself feel better. By claiming the victim role, you are intensifying your pain. With victim identity in play, you're not only suffering because of whatever happened, you're now added to that suffering the fact that you don't get what others get because you're cursed. Life and everyone, it is out to get you, and basically the universe hates you. It doesn't help you feel better.
Right.
No.
And
Carrie, where was your
number
root?
Six.
Hold on, before you go into that.
Where was my root? Gosh. Probably when I was under the age of five. It was parents and grandparents on both sides. As soon as I realized my mother's mother hated me because I looked like my father, and my father's favorite thing to do was to beat the living hell out of us or molest us, and nobody on his side of the family did anything about it, even though they knew. That's when I knew I was worthless to these people.
Well, it's specifically hard.
Wow.
When it's your own family.
Yeah.
Now, well, you couldn't escape it.
I had nobody that I could turn to for safety. Nobody.
Mm-mm. Wow. And listen, I know some of you are struggling that are listening right now. Listen, there's a haven. And that haven is the obesity revolution. Don't ever forget that. You reach out to me. And Tom, number six, as we're coming into closing right now, what's number six?
Well, I'll just, you want to turn your focus into helping others, not taking on their burdens, but helping others, because it'll also help you not always focus on your problems.
That's good.
Practice gratitude. Count your blessings.
Amen.
People that are in a victim mentality always want to sit there and think about what they don't have. Right. They don't take time to sit there and think about what they do. And then write a list of the ways you can change the bad situation. Take responsibility for what you can change. And do it. And practice empathic listening. Try listening with the intention of feeling what they're saying from the inside of their heart instead of thinking about what you're going to say next. Stop thinking about that. Start listening. And then lastly, practice forgiveness, not only for others, but for yourself.
And forgiveness isn't for you. It's not for them, it's for you. Because bitterness is the only chemical that destroys its own container.
Mm-hmm.
And you get bitter that you don't forgive. And the best thing I can do is forgive somebody like my stepdad, like the person that molested me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to forgive them and not harbor bitterness on them and just say, hey, I wouldn't change anything in my life because it's made me who I am today. And I forgive. And you want forgiveness, you forgive others. And I can't tell you how happy
it's very freeing.
My final thought, it is freeing. And then putting into other people, I can't stop doing that. That's so much a part of me. I can't, because here's what I look at. If you're pushing somebody other than yourself up the ladder, as you're pushing them up the ladder, you push them up each rung. You get them to the top of a hill, whatever you want to talk about. As you push them up and you get them to the top, guess who's at the top with them?
You.
You.
Yeah.
And that's what we forget about whenever we're sitting and sulking and right there in our own things. We sit there and that's all we do. We drown in them and then we sit soaking sour. Instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to push somebody, I'm going to put into somebody. And that's the greatest thing I ever started doing whenever I was a young man, you know, about in my 20s, is whenever I started working and helping and put into other people other than myself. It changed and revolutionized my life. So my final thought is find somebody that you can invest in and put everything into them and make sure that you don't harbor any bitterness through your past. Carrie.
I have a final thought, too.
Final thought, too.
Your past experiences do not define who you are now. You are not destined to become a repeat of what you'd gone through. You know, I told you how our house is the house. I'm doing everything for my children that was never done for me when I was a kid. So our house is the house. Everybody knows when they come here, they're safe. So we're not destined to repeat the past or hereditary illness, mental crapola.
Yeah. If you want to, you can.
That's right.
But it's better to choose. It's your choice.
Sure.
Life's an attitude. Yeah. Life is an attitude. Mm-hmm. Remember that. And Tom, your final thought before we wrap this up.
Well,
good episode.
We all want to be loved and respected. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that's what we all want. So what we need to do is for us and others, try validating yourself and others, point out things that you're good at, that they're good at, depending on whether you're helping them or helping yourself. Highlight your own achievements or their achievements, depending on what you're doing. Remind them of affection and validate feelings. Validate, 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 just like we said before.
Good.
Makes a big difference.
It does.
And get a therapist.
Yeah.
Go to a therapist.
It's not a dirty word anymore.
And find out, you know, if you get diagnosed with something, taking medicine isn't bad either if you have the right doctor. I'm not talking about a doctor feel good.
Right.
I'm talking about the right kind of doctor that will take a while to diagnose you and find out, because mental illness is not a weakness.
No.
It's you were born with it. And so guess what? It's a chemical imbalance in the brain that's causing the thing. So don't do that. Don't be a victim. And like I said, we really do love you. You all are part of us. And on behalf of the Obesity Revolution, myself, Carrie, and L. Tom Moe, that has his crawfish daddy. I got my crawl daddies on right now. We're going to get him some crawl daddy pajamas, some jammies. But anyways, we love you. You know, get healthy, stay healthy. And remember, you're worth it. And we got this. There's nothing in the way that you can't do unless you let it there. And then get rid of the roadblocks in the mind. Until next time.
Amen.
We love you.
Bye.
We love you.
We do.
We do love them, right? You
we
love
do.
Them, Tom? Don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Want to squeeze them. Want to squeeze them.
Well, then, love you, huggy, squeeze you, squeeze you.
You love me.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. We're done.
With a great big
We love you.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.